Will Sparrow was a liar and a thief, and hungry. So when he saw the chance to steal a cold rabbit pie from the inn's kitchen and blame it on the dog, he took it, both the chance and the pie. But the innkeeper would have none of it.
And how did the wee dog open the door, scrabble onto the table and fetch the pie out of the kitchen, all the while sitting on Mistress Grab's lap, having his ears scratched, I would like to know.
He grabbed Will by the shoulders and shook him. Pie crust crumbs fell like snow.
"Ye have stolen your last meal, boy. I paid too high a price for you,"
the innkeeper said with a spray of spittle.
"Free drink for your lout of a father. I could easily hire me two boys for what he costs me in ale."
Will struggled to escape, but the innkeeper held on tighter.
"No, boy, you be a liar and a thief, and not worth your keep. I mean to send you to the city, sell you for a climbing boy."
Will's heart thumped. "A chimney sweep? Nay," he said, still struggling. "Nah!"
"Aye, boy, there always be a market for such," the innkeeper continued. "Them don't last long. Their lungs go."
Will kicked his captor in the knee and, shoving the table aside, turned for the door, but the innkeeper stuck out a booted foot, sending Will tumbling to the ground.
"You be off with the carter in the morning," he said, lifting Will by the collar of his shirt.
Although Will struggled and kicked and tried to bite the innkeeper's large and leathery arm, he could not escape and was locked in the stable, without his boots, lest he run. But it is difficult to keep a wiry, clever, sad and angry lad locked up, and Will worked on the boards of the stable, making first a mouse hole, and then a hole a weasel might fit through, and finally a hole large enough for a small but determined boy. He wrapped a blanket, prickly with horsehair and straw, but not too tattered for warmth, around his shoulders. Exhaling loudly, he squeezed through the hole and ran into the night. In the deepening dark, the boy could not see the road ahead, so he ran with his arms outstretched and waving wildly, lest he collide with a tree or a wagon or some unknown frightful thing. Such motions made running difficult and slow, but no one could follow him in the dark, so he ran. Finally, his arms and shoulders, not to mention his legs and feet, grew so tired and ached so fiercely that he had to take the risk and stop. Where he was, he did not know. On the road or off, he did not know. The darkness and the strangeness frightened him, and his heart beat like a tambour. He moved forward until he felt something, a tree stump, he guessed, by which he could rest without fear of being overrun by a cart or trampled by a horse. Lying down, he snuggled into the blanket, his back against the stump, for that way he felt less lonesome and forlorn. The night was full of sounds. Leaves rustled and whispered, the wind moaned, branches creaked and snapped. Will could not sleep. He lay imagining the innkeeper catching him, his father finding him, or worse, trolls and goblins, ogres and elves and evil dwarfs come out of the forest to bedevil him. When he heard the direful hooting of an owl, he pulled the blanket over his head. Finally, comforted by the familiar smell of horse, he slept. Dawn comes early in summer, so before long he woke to the sound of a cock crow and opened his eyes. Fie upon it! In the dark he had doubled back and was now not an hour's walk from where he'd started. He smiled a sour smile. Leastwise the innkeeper would not be looking for him here, so near to the inn. He rubbed his eyes, washed his face, and drank deeply from a stream running warm and shallow. "You, Will Sparrow," he said to his face shimmering in the water, "are a sorry excuse for a runabout. Now, you must start again."